Podtacular episode 365, tuned in for May 2nd, 2013. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Dust Storm.
And I'm your other host, Brent Gamer.
And we are back for our 365th episode of Podtacular, which means you can now listen to one of our episodes every day for an entire year.
Yep. Year round.
We're now an annual, I guess we could be a daily annual podcast.
Yep. Start your endurance run now.
And, exactly.
Next April 2nd, you'll be ready.
I mean May 2nd.
April, yeah, May 2nd.
Yeah, new month, new month.
Man! All the way back in last month.
Yeah.
Time traveling to give you the show.
It's been crazy. But, so with us still ramping up, the bulletins are kind of ramping down a little bit. Of course, Halo 4 has been out for a while, and the content within the bulletins are starting to get kind of repetitive and... It's still important stuff, but it's starting to slow down. With response to that, we'll definitely be looking at pulling some other things into the podcast. We'll be talking with people from other parts of the community, people who do machinima, people who do prop making, hopefully. We'll get some people on to talk about the books and the lore behind Halo, because there has been a big demand for that, actually, to talk about the books and the external fiction. Yeah. So we'll be pulling some of those people in, some people that you already know. Jeff Easterling or Grim Brother One. We'll have Brian Newman on from HBO. Pete Cooper. We'll have E from Xbox actually be on for one of our shows. He's agreed to come on and do a show with us. And we'll definitely have a few other people on there. There's definitely other people that know some of the lore, and we want to get some new people in there as well. And of course, summer is coming up, so we do want to try to get some community members on the show. So everyone that's listening live right now, you'll basically get a chance to be on the show at some point, hopefully, come around the June timeframe. So that'll be really, really cool for you guys. It's something we'd like to do around the summertime, just because everyone's usually off of school and it just is a little bit easier to get those kind of people into the mix. So look out for that. Before we get into the bulletin, I do want to make a very, very, very special announcement. So I submitted a panel for RTX, and it's a panel about podcasting. It's a panel for talking about everything kind of at a high level in terms of what software do you use to record, what equipment do you want to look for when you're recording, what are some little techniques and tips that you can do when you're doing post-processing, stuff that you want to really look forward to when you're actually posting your show, like ID3 tags and blogs and other websites out there and web services that you can use to promote your podcast. So submitted that panel to RTX, and it has been approved as of yesterday. So yesterday I got an email from Blondie at Rooster Teeth, and the panel has been approved. So I will be at RTX with a panel of Goose Checka from Griffball Hub, Roadblock from Late Night Jenga Jam, and Lindsay Tuggy from Rooster Teeth. She's actually, I think, the audio director for the Rooster Teeth podcast. I don't remember what her exact title is, but she does some of the audio engineering for their podcast and does some other stuff related over there at Rooster Teeth. So it's going to be us four on the panel at RTX. Still don't know what day and time it is, but if you're going to RTX, definitely check us out. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm a little nervous. I have done the panel before. I was invited to do the Halo Fest one, and it was the community panel. So that was my first panel being on a panel. But this time I'm actually going out and producing the panel, producing the content on my own with the help of the other panelists, of course. But this is kind of like the next big step for me, so it's going to be a learning experience, no doubt.
Sounds exciting, though.
Yeah,
it's a big deal.
I'm excited for it. Brent's going to be there in action to cheer me on from the sidelines, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully.
So,
fingers crossed.
Yeah, It's a big undertaking, and I have 2 months to kind of pull together all my resources that I need to. So it's going to be very interesting next 2 months. But just wanted to get that out there, let you guys know that the panel that I submitted for RTX was approved, and that at RTX I will be presenting a panel there. So with that said, let's jump right into the bulletin. So we're still looking at some weapon tuning updates, some matchmaking updates, and that's kind of the extent to what the bulletins have boiled down to. Of course, there's the screenshots at the end, and we actually have the results of the CSR challenge from when Castle Map Pack came out and when CSR got dropped. So we'll cover that as well. To start things off, for those that are involved in the competitive community, you'll know him, Walshy, was actually visited 343 this last week and got to try out some of the current stages of the weapon tuning system, and he had some feedback from what he's felt of the changes so far. There's a couple of questions from the bulletin that they posted. There's, I think, about 5 different questions that they asked him, all relating to the changes that they made. The first question was talking about just first impressions of the new weapon system and what he felt kind of stuck out. And he said the 3 biggest things that stood out to him was the new 4-shot BR, basically trumping the go-to weapon of the DMR. And I have a comment about that later. Decreased magnetism for automatic weapons, which kind of creates a little bit more of a skill gap for short-range fights. And then the light rifle's increased rate of fire when zoomed in, possibly making it the best long-range starting weapon in the game now. So there's definitely changes happening within the weapon sandbox for Halo. It's kind of interesting to see some of these changes, and it's really cool to see that they're actually just able to do this without having to push out a title update. That is kind of an interesting thing that I guess they got right, kind of looking back at the podcast that we did a couple days ago. But just seeing that at least they're trying to balance out these weapons is good to see. Although I'm kind of sad that my DMR is going to be kind of nerfed in comparison, but I'll talk about that a little bit later. There's a couple other questions in here. The automatic rifle had a question specifically. Basically, it kind of affects that short-range gameplay, since automatic weapons are usually kind of the short range. And his answer to one of the questions in here talking about the reduced auto aim on automatics kind of confuses me a little bit. In his response to talking about playing one-on-one Haven with assault rifles, part of his response is, however, this change primarily affects the casual level of play, which is the majority of Halo players. Overall, I think everyone will be very happy with this change. So I'm not saying that the reduced auto aim is a bad thing and people aren't going to like it better, but I would think if you take away a handicap, do you think people are going to be more happy with a change? I mean, I can see the overall gameplay experience being balanced out, but if you're used to that assault rifle how it is and then you're not able to use it as effectively anymore because the auto aim got reduced, you're not going to be as happy, I would think.
Well, here's how I see it, kind of like, if you're a real casual Halo player and for some reason Halo 4 is your first Halo game and you just cannot get kills with the precision weapons, like the AR was the only place to go if you wanted to have a starting weapon that would actually get some kills for you. So I can see people that never actually moved on to the precision weapons getting mad about that, but like this late into the game, like, I mean, it's been 6 or 7 months now. You should start using the precision weapons like everybody else does. I mean, if you're using the AR exclusively right now, like, it would behoove you to start learning how to use the BR or the DMR. Probably the BR now that the DMR is getting nerfed, but I mean, even start with the light rifle if that's easier for you. I mean, that's getting buffed, but
yeah.
I mean, the high-level play happens with the BR, the DMR, and sometimes the light rifle.
Right.
So just...
Well, I mean, that's where the skill gap comes in. That's where the whole Halo is kind of built on different levels of play.
Like, we're the loud vocal minority, as they called us. I mean, the casual player, if they don't like something about the game, they're not going to be as loud and kind of...
We're
not
going to
complain
loud...
about it as much as we might.
Yeah, we're one of the loud vocal minorities, because there is that vocal minority that's just... They don't like anything about Halo and the resistance to change. We're kind of the vocal minority who are the leaders of the Halo community, kind of.
Well, not really. I mean... I don't think you could just pick out people that are specifically leaders of the Halo community. There's definitely people that are... I mean, we have a few people you could probably call leaders, but we're more of just content creators. I mean, our say doesn't
right.
really have any more weight to it than, you know, Joe Schmo on the Waypoint forums. I mean, if he complains about it, he has as much chance of making that change as we do.
True. But just in terms of... sites that are out there dedicated to Halo and like,
oh yeah,
you have
I mean,
people like
we care
Grim
Brother.
You have people that like Grim Brother One. You have Cruel Legacy. You have Pete the Duck. You have Green Skull. All those people kind of consider the community leaders, the people that are out there supporting Halo despite their opinions and just trying to bring together a bunch of different people under the same umbrella of Halo.
Yeah.
So.
This doesn't affect me. Like, I don't use
it doesn't affect me
very often. So, and even when I do, it doesn't seem like the magnetism on the AR was the big deal that made that weapon somewhat powerful. It's just the fact that, I mean, you just set the reticule on somebody, you don't have to aim for their head, and you just hold the trigger down.
Yeah.
I mean, it's simple. I mean, even with the precision weapons, you actually have to gauge the timing on your trigger pulls. You have to pull the trigger each time you want that weapon to burst, but
right
with the AR it's just hold it down and get a kill.
Yeah,
you know, assuming you're close enough. So
there was another question about how the tuning will actually affect matchmaking and tournament play, and the biggest difference that Walshy sees is that the DMR used to be the go-to gun for everything, but now the light rifle and the BR are actually on paper more powerful weapons than the DMR. So that's kind of where I wanted to insert my comment about the whole leveling thing. And I get that the DMR is overpowered compared to the other ones. It's a hard balance to make sure that not any one weapon is overpowered.
I still kind of wish they'd either just went with the DMR or the BR, like one or the other. But having both in there kind of confuses things. And it probably even confuses map design. Like, when you go to create maps in Halo 4, they have to take into account that... I mean, right now, prior to the upcoming title update, you know, the DMR is a very powerful weapon, and you have to keep the range of that weapon in mind when you're making maps. But if it were just the BR, you could probably have, like, maps that are designed better around a combat system that the developers kind of have control over without having to, you know, sit around and juggle weapon balance all day.
Right.
Because right now you're going to go from, yeah, the DMR is overpowered to, like, why would you use the DMR? I mean, we haven't tried it yet, so we don't know, you know, how that's going to work out. And we'll
right.
get to, you know, a part of the article or part of the bulletin here that says that some people will actually get to go try that out this month, or they're going to be announcing that event this month.
Yeah, well, that's actually the next thing on the list.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's going to be a small group of community leaders that 343 is going to invite out to the studio to try out the new weapon tuning system before it gets finalized. So it's just kind of more playtesting to make sure everyone's kind of gelling with the new settings that they have. And that's kind of the right thing to do. I mean, it's not quite the whole beta test thing, but it is the right thing to do to try to go get other people out there to try and evaluate the thing that you want to be successful before putting it out.
Yep.
AKA the beta that we needed. Anyways, there's also going to be a live stream at some point in the future. They haven't nailed down when exactly, but it'll probably be a couple of days, like it may be the Saturday or the Sunday before the changes go out, kind of like they've done with the map pack releases. They'll probably have everything close to finalized, if not finalized, by the time they have that stream up. But they've said once all their stuff is ready. And once they've nailed down the time to get the stream scheduled, they will announce it, and they'll have stuff where design artists and other important people will kind of give their insight behind why they've made these changes in such a way. I'm sure we'll probably hear something from Kevin Franklin, maybe a few other people on the multiplayer team like Bravo, and they'll probably have their opinions and their say on why they made these certain changes. There's also going to be the bulletins updates that's going to cover it until it comes out, and then the final changes will be released on June 3rd.
I think that they should have the live stream event like right before they announce the Durango. Like directly preceding the Durango release event, or whatever they're calling that. They should have this live stream just to get people pumped. Because if you're already watching like Xbox videos and then they're like, stay tuned while we announce the Xbox 720, you're going to be like, yeah. Yeah, I'm already on Twitch.
Like, that would be interesting.
I don't know. I guess it'll be on Twitch. The Durango event.
Yeah, it probably will.
It'll definitely be on Major Nelson's website. So if you can't find it anywhere, just go find Major Nelson and it'll probably be there. I'm assuming that GameSpot will have a live stream up. Giant Bomb probably won't. They really don't do live streams of stuff like that very often.
I don't know if... Well, honestly, this is as something that GameSpot or any other kind of gaming blog sites would actually do a separate stream about.
Yeah. I'm not talking about this. I'm talking about the Durango event specifically.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
The thing that they would actually care about. Like, they don't care about the Halo 4 update. I mean, we do, obviously, but... I'm just saying, if you're going to do that, you might as well just have it on the same day. Like, just make it an Xbox kind of day.
Yeah. Let's see. The next thing on the list is the competitive skill rate challenge. So when CSR got dropped, 343 put out a challenge to get, what was that, CSR 35 in the Castle DLC playlist. And only 26 of us were able to obtain that.
That number is a lot smaller than I thought it'd be.
Yeah, me too. I don't know what that says about the ranking system, though, because, I mean, we've already talked about it a little bit here and there, just with how whacked up it currently seems. And I guess if you've put enough time and effort into it, then you got that high, but it still was kind of low from what I was expecting. I don't know if they intentionally did it that way to where it was harder to get there, or what?
Yes, I assume these 26 players were extremely high when they went to achieve this. I really thought that it would be closer to the, you know, like in the thousands at least. And then I see this statistic that says there were only 26 that achieved level 35 in the first, what was it, like week? Or the first 24 hours.
Yeah,
No, wait. It wasn't the first 20. It was one week after the release, wasn't it? That was like the cutoff date for that event.
No, it was 2 weeks.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, that's an even longer time. I mean, you would expect more than 26 people.
Yeah. Well, I never got above, like, I think a 7.
Yes.
In that playlist. And I was trying quite a bit during that first week of play. And then once I saw how slow I was going up, even though I was playing well in games, I'm just like, screw it.
Yeah, it seemed really slow. I don't know if it's because I haven't played ranked Halo in a while, you know, but it just seems like it takes longer than past Halo.
I don't know.
So those people get a cool Avatar t-shirt.
They do?
Yeah, and some really big props. If I knew there were only going to be 26 people making it in, like, I might have actually tried. Because, I mean, now they're going to be, you know, featured in a upcoming Waypoint article. So stay tuned for that. You'll get to see who the 26 players were.
Yeah.
They'll probably be internet famous.
They'll probably be the next bulletin or the bulletin after that.
Yeah.
They have some interesting stats on here during that 2 week period. Over 2.3 million games of Castle DLC matchmaking were played. It's quite a bit. And that totaled up to over 16.5 million minutes.
Now, here's something about that statistic I don't understand. Is that like one match is 10 minutes, or each player contributes 10 minutes to that total. So like one match
each player individually contributes to that.
All right.
So basically 16.5 million minutes of people's lives were wasted, if you want to look at it that way. Or utilized, depending on how you want to see it. Next thing, matchmaking playlist update. And that means that we'll actually have Monday Night Matchmaking this next week. So a few maps that were playtested in the Community Forge Test and FFA Forge Test playlists are making their way into the standard rotation of matchmaking playlists. And those changes are the following. Added to SWAT is Blacksite, Plaza, and Shutout. Added to Rumble Pit is Blacksite, Simplex, Scythe, Serenity, and Opus. I haven't played Serenity before, actually. Removed from Rumble Pit is Shutout. Added to Team Objective is Edifice, Plaza, Serenity, Station 9. For
King of the Hill. And yeah. So, Station
well,
9
okay.
Extraction. Just
yeah,
two different types.
Yeah, Edifice is King of the Hill. So for Team Objective, Edifice is King of the Hill, Plaza is King of the Hill, Serenity is King of the Hill, and then Station 9 is King of the Hill and Extraction. Add to Infinity Slayer is Assault, Opus, Simplex, Scythe, and Shutout. Added to Flood is Blacksite, Malice, Serenity. And then Team Snipers Shutout has been updated. They also give a little explanation as to why they removed Shutout from Rumble Pit. From Rumble Pit. And they said that just how it played in the free-for-all style environment, it didn't really flow well, and they went around, changed the spawn points, and it still didn't feel like it was a good gameplay experience. So they decided to remove it.
The map was simply too much fun. People were enjoying it too much. Had to take it out of
FFA. I mean, it's a Halo 2. It's a Halo 2 classic, and people, I guess, just getting too nostalgic, getting too crazy over Shutout. I mean,
I remember playing FFA on Lockout back in the Halo 2 day. I mean, it wasn't
crazy.
Awful. I mean, it's better team-based, but...
I guess it has to do with how the spawning system in Halo 4 works and just how having those extra features like the armor abilities and being able to sprint and how that may break the map flow a little bit.
Yeah.
I think that's probably one of the core reasons why.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
The game has evolved so much since Halo 2, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, they wouldn't just take it out of rotation unless there were a really good reason. I mean,
right.
I didn't really play... I don't remember playing an FFA match on
right.
Shutout specifically, so I'm not sure, but something broken with it. So, yeah.
Yep. They took out the grunt birthday party effect in Fiesta Classic. I personally liked it. I guess they had enough feedback from the rest of the community where people were kind of tired of hearing it. I personally like it. I wore the grunt birthday party effect in Halo Reach, and I loved every time that I died because of it.
Oh, yeah, that sound is fantastic. And then you get the confetti. I mean, it's really a great effect.
Yeah.
I wouldn't remove it from anything. I would just put it in default. Just like default Slayer, Infinity Slayer. Grunt birthday party every time.
I liked it in Fiesta because it was a Fiesta. It was a party. Grunt
yeah,
birthday
it's
party.
Funny.
I mean,
yeah. Everybody's having fun. Everybody's getting, you know, power weapons, you know, right off their spawn. I mean, it is not a serious game type. It's supposed to be a kind of lighthearted, fun take on Halo.
Right. So, I mean, it's nothing that's game breaking, but it is kind of
sad to see
it go.
Is. You've now broken Fiesta Classic.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I'm just...
Well, I mean, technically,
I mean, it doesn't break it, but I mean, they don't even explain why they took it out, other than saying that they were getting tired of it. Like, I played Gruntpocalypse every single day that I played Halo Reach, and that sound never got old, ever. Like, I can hear it in my head right now, and it's not old. I mean, it's amazing. I love that.
Yep. Just certain nostalgia aspects that... I don't know. It's Grunt Birthday Party, since Halo Reach, has been kind of a nostalgic thing for me. It's like, if I could have equipped it for my Spartan in any game that I played, I would do it again. It's just so fun. It makes things just a little bit more lighthearted.
Yeah. People in the live chat are saying that the instant respawn made it to where the effect happened too often. So I could see some people just get tired of it.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
I mean, I would never get tired of it. You could just make a game where I press a button and hear that sound and see the confetti pop. Like,
whack a grunt?
Yeah, man. Just put it on Xbox Live Indie Games or whatever that channel is.
Yeah, the Indie Games channel? Yep.
Yeah, it's on the same caliber of games that show up on there, so.
Yeah, there's some pretty crappy games on there. Yeah. No offense, but yeah.
Hey, man, they came out with Xbox Live Massage, where you can play multiplayer with another player over Xbox Live, and, like, you're supposed to put the controllers in your lap, and then you can turn up the rumble feature on the other player's controller manually from your side, and then they do the same to you. It's crazy. This is true.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
I'm just saying, like,
I'm sure the chat room's going to explode here in about 10 seconds.
They're probably not. They're like, yeah, man, whatever. I've been, you know, no big deal. I've been doing that with my controller for years now.
I feel like I need a tweet about that game right now.
Yeah, I should find it. I'm sure it's on the, like, website version of Xbox Live.
Oh, gosh. Page. Oh, gosh.
Should link it in the show notes.
Wow. Moving on. They've implemented the correct community griffball changes. So I was actually talking with, I believe it was HTL Camper on Twitter. Yeah. So apparently from the last matchmaking update, they didn't actually put in the correct settings for griffball. And apparently the griffball community was not very happy about that. So they put in the right ones this time. So that's been updated. All the issues with griffball has now been settled. Or at least it will be settled in the matchmaking update. So, they are going to look into doing another Forge test playlist to incorporate some of the new Forge Island maps. So probably within the next, probably by the next matchmaking update, or maybe the one after that, we'll start to see the Forge test playlist come back. That's a tongue twister. And feature some Forge Island maps to be evaluated and looked at to be incorporated into the rest of the playlist system for Halo 4.
Yay.
Last section, of course, is the screenshots. And this week it is for Daybreak. So these are Daybreak screenshots, all from the map Daybreak. Some of them are pretty good. Some of them are... A few of them are mediocre, but most of them are pretty good. Let's see. Favorite for me, I really like Serenity.
Yeah.
Go figure. It's by Reclaimed Halo again.
Right. I mean, he
makes. Does this guy not make bad screenshots? I mean, that might be a person that we need to get on the show.
Yeah.
Because he makes some awesome screenshots.
Got a good sense for photography.
Yeah, The forest one reminds me of Green Skull.
Yeah, I was going to say forest is my favorite. I like that camo effect. It's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
But, I mean, a lot of these were kind of disappointing. One screenshot is literally just a screenshot of the inside of the Daybreak.
Yeah, just the inside
like
the
base. Like,
I think that's... It's the circular base. Blue base. Yeah.
And one screenshot is just the sun like coming through the leaves on a tree. Like that's not a screenshot.
I personally like
dude.
That one. I personally like that one. To be honest, that's kind of up there. I kind of like those nature like screenshots personally.
Assassinations are, in my opinion, not really worthy of screenshot attention because it just happens so often now.
Yeah.
And everybody loves taking screenshots of them for some reason. I guess just because the character models are, you know, in weird positions.
They're pretty good.
You're not normally find them in just kind of normal combat.
Right.
I don't know. Skyfall's all right. I like that you can see the disintegration effect.
Skyfall.
Around. Yeah,
I still
Skyfall.
Have not seen that movie.
Me neither.
Gosh. I should. I need to go see it. I need to go. I think it might be on Netflix. I have to look. Okay, so that wraps up the bulletin for us. Last week we asked the question, what weapon would you add to the Halo sandbox? If you could add one. So we got a lot of responses from Twitter. And We're just going to kind of shotgun these real quick. Gemini Ace is the first one. He says, I would like a bolo launcher with grenades on the ends that explode when they connect. Could also be used to warp objects. Okay.
Yeah, so I guess that's a kind of a shout out to Bulletstorm. That gun was really fun in Bulletstorm.
I never actually played it either.
Yeah, I played the demo. I played it like a whole bunch of times, but I never actually got around to renting the game or buying it. But the bolo launcher was definitely cool. That's kind of one of those things in Halo where I'm not sure what kind of unique functionality it would have. Because if it hits, it's essentially just a one-hit kill weapon. Unless you could like shoot the bolo and then the grenades like can land on the ground and then you can detonate them afterwards. But at that point, it's just kind of a sticky detonator. So, yeah.
Okay.
I guess that'd be cool. Moving on. Sheep Killa says, a bow or crossbow? Why? Because bows are freaking cool. I guess that's a shout out to...
I don't know. How would a crossbow work for Halo? I mean, because you're fighting against shielded and armored Spartans.
Sci-fi arrows on a sci-fi crossbow. Yes. Science jargon arrows on a science jargon crossbow that can pierce armor. That's kind of a... Well, I mean, think about it. They took the idea of a sword, which is very rudimentary, and turned it into a weapon in Halo.
Right.
So, I guess. Yeah.
Next one's from Downpour Death. He says, I'd say some type of gun that could be used to set down traps that explode either when an enemy is within the radius or remotely. I'd say the traps could be also linked, but a limited number can only be set at once. But they can be disputed as good or bad. So kind of like the Demo Man from Team Fortress 2 is what comes to mind.
That's what I was thinking. So,
because you can lay down the sticky bombs, and then detonate them remotely. And I actually think they explode on impact if you hit an enemy with them.
Yeah. Again, kind of like the sticky detonator, but he's implying a weapon with more than one charge. I mean, that you can fire off at once.
Yeah.
Metalhead 593 says. He wants an M203 type weapon. A grenade launcher attached to an AR or BR. Grenades with proximity fuses.
I'm not sure what kind of weapon that is.
203? Me neither.
Is that a... it sounds Mass Effect-ish, to be honest. I'm not a gunsmith.
It doesn't sound like a...
Oh, it's an assault rifle with a grenade launcher attachment. Yeah. I just did a...
Maybe it is.
Wikipedia search.
My ignorance is showing. So yeah, like
it's actually the attachment grenade launcher that you would attach to like an AK or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like Tony Montana style, like
put on a
Scarface.
You can put on an M16, M4 carbine. Interesting. All right. We've had the grenade launcher in the past. We had it in Halo Reach. Granted, it was its own standalone thing. But, yeah, people in the chat are saying it's a Call of Duty weapon, so, noobtube, yep. Although, I mean, I used the grenade launcher a lot. I really liked it in Halo Reach. I was able to use it quite well. A lot of people called it the pro pipe in Halo Reach, so, I don't know.
That was fun.
That secondary firing mode, though, it may cause some dissonance within kind of the players. It depends on how they implement it, though.
I enjoyed the grenade launcher in Reach better than the sticky detonator. No lie. I love the EMP function.
Hands down. It was a lot better.
Like knocking a Banshee out of the sky with a grenade launcher was so satisfying.
Yeah.
Man, that's funny.
Just as a side note, I found that game that we were talking about, and it's called A Perfect Massage, and it's actually 80 Microsoft points on the Indie Games channel. Yeah.
What's it called again?
A Perfect Massage.
Perfect Massage. Okay.
I'm about to tweet it out right now. So, yeah.
Talk about sticky detonators.
Oh, look at that. Oh, man. We are funny. Moving on. Gagnon30, at Gagnon30, he says, I'm actually serious here. Thought that spear-like projectiles used by grunts that can be used once would be cool. Twist on the nade.
That kind of goes that they can chunk.
Yeah, again, that kind of goes back to the whole bow and arrow thing. Is we're looking at, I guess, more specifically, multiplayer. Yeah, it'd be cool if those kind of weapons that a little bit more barbaric could be used. But when it's in the future, and you're heavily armored and shielded and all that stuff, doesn't quite work out, I think, the way people expect.
Yep. It's like,
I mean, it's an interesting suggestion.
Never changes.
Interesting suggestion, but I don't know. For the bow and arrow and for the spear type of thing, I would kind of have to say no.
Yeah. To me, like, the coolest weapons they could introduce would have a very unique function within the Halo sandbox, like something we really haven't seen before.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple in here that I think are a little bit later on. Next one. You want to read it?
Yes. Lane Thomas says, a Forerunner energy sword like the ones the Promethean Knights have would be cool. Like, if it doesn't serve a function other than the normal energy sword, like, it would be cool just to have it as far as having different models for weapons, but it really wouldn't bring anything to the game, in my opinion. Like, it wouldn't make the sandbox more fun.
Right.
Needless to say, though, doing an assassination on a knight and jamming its sword up into its chest is pretty cool.
It is.
That's like one of the few things I enjoy about that enemy.
One of the coolest animations, in my opinion, is the going up and assassinating a knight, pulling off its blade and shoving it up. I would definitely like to see it be able to be used as a weapon that you could hold as a Spartan and use against somebody. But then again, we're kind of looking for stuff to actually add to the sandbox, not something that's kind of already pre-existing. It's still I think people have actually said that it would be cool to actually use that already.
Yeah. So yeah.
Halo fan for life. He says, biotransducer. This weapon could compose any enemy, then use that composed energy as a one-shot pulse weapon against another. Huh.
Yeah, that'd be cool. As long as you would take, like, if you could replace the binary rifle with a weapon like that, that would be cool. Like, imagine an automatic weapon that, like, you'd shoot the enemy with it, and then if you killed the enemy, your next shot is a one-shot kill.
Yeah.
And, like, you suck the enemy up into your gun. Like, they disintegrate, and then you see that energy, like, kind of entering your weapon.
I'm just wondering how that would actually work in gameplay.
Like, you would come up to me, I would shoot you with it. And then if you died, like, if your buddy was standing right next to you, I'd just one-shot him and be like, yeah, double kill.
Would that be a one-time thing?
No, as long as you have ammo. It's like, I mean, the shot would be a one-time, one-shot kill. Then you have to shoot, you have to do the process over again for the next one.
So, I guess, how long would that compose effect need to take before it's considered, like, because there's definitely some kind of balance you would have to do with timing.
I'm saying. One enemy, like, you kill one enemy with the automatic, like, basically shooting them with an AR, and then if you kill them, your next shot is a one-shot kill, and then you repeat the process.
I could see the possibility. I would probably need a little more thought behind what he's thinking of.
I'm just saying, to me, that would be more interesting than what the binary rifle is right now, which is just shoot them anywhere. You get two shots per clip. And you can have, like, what is it, like, 8 shots total, like, max?
Yeah, you could have a total of 4 clips.
Yeah, so...
So, 8 shots. That's, although the reload time, like, on that thing is freaking ridiculously long.
Yeah, but, I mean, after you just killed 2 enemies, assuming you're decent with it, I mean, you're probably going to be in a position where you're not going to get killed while you reload. Assuming that someone hasn't, you know, snuck up on you.
Right. Right.
I mean, the reload on a rocket launcher is long, but... I mean, that's balanced off from the fact that you shoot it at somebody and they die. I mean, it's that simple. And it's the same way with the binary rifle.
It
you
is.
Just shoot it, and, I mean, it's a little You could make a case that it's harder to get kills with the rocket launcher than it is the binary rifle, at least in certain situations.
Well, again, every weapon has its own purpose.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Next one. Nice and short.
Insane Cake says tornado gun. I guess it shoots out a tornado that
like that doesn't really kill people. I mean, what are you going to do? Whisk up away a 2-ton Spartan? Those things are kind of hard to move. I'm not sure what he was thinking about that one. That's kind of why I asked for detail when I posted the tweet. I guess.
Imagine like a gun that you can like shoot out this kind of gravitational center, like a black hole kind of that pulls everything around it in. But you can still like kind of turn around and shoot things, but you just can't control your Spartan getting pulled into it. I guess that'd be kind of cool. A tornado wouldn't have any effect on a Spartan unless it was just extremely powerful.
Yeah.
It's just so heavy.
Someone posted an interesting one in the chat, which I think is a little bit more feasible than the tornado gun. Still Chewy says singularity gun.
Yeah.
That would be interesting. Like, basically, you pop up a singularity somewhere, and if someone's close enough to it, it sucks them in, and basically they poof.
Yeah.
They're dead. That one I would see is, like, limited use, where it's probably just a one-time use thing.
Like,
or maybe
two. You can see your Spartan, like, float away into this, like, white void. Just like a white screen, you see him, like, floating away. Like, while you're waiting to respawn, it's like, doot-doot-doot-doot!
Jack said that would work better as a grenade. Actually, it would. I want to say that some sci-fi series actually did that with a grenade, like had the singularity grenade. I don't remember what it is, but I think some sci-fi-ish something or other had that. I have to think about that one. Next one.
All right.
Pete the Duck. The Halo 2 turret, non-detachable. Weapon sandbox says cluttered, needs simplifying. So, technically, the Halo 2 turret's already been within the Halo sandbox before. There's a lot of discussions about how powerful vehicles and turrets are, and it has to go back to the fact that the sandbox has drastically changed, and now with the plasma pistol, you can stall vehicles. And this kind of leads into another discussion that we'll have on another show. But there is a balance of vehicle superiority that needs to be reevaluated. Some of our Halo 2 game nights that we've had recently, I've gone in and played with vehicles, and I forgot how powerful the vehicles actually were, and you really couldn't take out a vehicle unless you were in another vehicle. And that kind of combat's kind of non-existent now because of how powerful just the standard stock weapons are against those vehicles. And they kind of just need to be buffed up a little bit more because vehicles are so easily taken out in Halo now. It's kind of like they don't really get the respect they deserve.
Yeah. So I don't know if making the turret non-detachable would necessarily make vehicles more powerful.
It's kind of in the same class though.
I remember in Halo 2, the turret was it seemed more important than it does nowadays. Like, if you were on a turret, you felt powerful in a way that you really don't feel nowadays. But
and they were placed in strategic positions that controlled certain areas of the map.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing most, like, I don't remember specifically. It's been a long time since I actually played the whole Halo 2 map experience. But I would think that they're put in high volume areas. And when you throw the detachable part in there, it's no longer kind of a certain position that's powerful. It's now you just have this new weapon that you can use to your advantage. And Pete the Duck makes a really interesting point to simplifying the sandbox. We actually talked about this a few shows ago about them adding in the Promethean weapons and whether or not having this new class of weapons clutters the experience or if it just really adds to the value and just adds some variety in there. It's interesting to see the different kinds of applications. For me, the scatter shot's a really interesting concept. it's not as widely used, but the fact that you have the shots composed of the light rounds and that can bounce off surfaces as a shotgun, that's one of the cooler Promethean weapons, in my opinion. Now, yeah, the incineration cannon is cool, but it's overpowered.
I feel like I have better range with the scatter shot than I do the normal shotgun.
Range, but up close, the shotgun wins.
At the same time, though, if you put a shotgun or a scatter shot in front of me, I will almost always pick up the shotgun. Because I enjoy... I mean, the shotgun will kill in one shot at better range than the scatter shot will. You have to be pretty close with the scatter shot to get that thing to kill in one shot. And that's assuming that all of the bolts hit.
Right.
With the shotgun, you can be a little further out, and as long as you're aiming relatively center mass, you're going to get that kill. but I mean, definitely, like, if I'm just, you know, if I'm mowing somebody down and then I just switch over to the scatter shot and shoot them at range like that, that's an application that the shotgun really didn't have.
Wow. So. Still Chewie's on a roll tonight. He just said he hates how the scatter shot and the shotgun are worse than the bolt shot. Yeah, that's kind of bad.
Yeah.
It's... I'm sure we'll have a show kind of almost exclusively dedicated to the bolt shot just because of how much issues it's caused in the Halo community.
Like, that can't show up in Halo 5, right?
No, it can't. I mean, it really can't.
Like, I get the feeling there's two things that 3-4 or no, there's three things 343 could do here. They keep the bolt shot in Halo 5, and it's the exact same as like it is right now, and people would be mad at it. Or they could
Shot needs to be kind of like how the plasma pistol is.
Yeah, but I'm saying I don't even like the plasma pistol now because of its EMP applications.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
to me, that's the biggest thing that ruins vehicles in modern Halo games is that EMP effect. I mean, it's just so easy to, you know, now that you can spawn with the plasma pistol, it's even worse. You know, you just spawn, a Warthog comes at you, you hit him with the plasma pistol and chunk some nades, and, you know, assuming you don't blow the Warthog up just outright, it'll at least probably flip over. There's just too many ways. It's too easy to stop a vehicle. And once you get a vehicle, like, stopped, that's when it stops being effective. I mean, the part of the effectiveness of vehicles, especially in Halo, is their mobility. I mean, the ability to run around while people are shooting you and get away, you know, and then recharge, that's a big deal. I mean, a good Warthog driver will keep his gunner recharged by, you know, getting out of harm's way when he knows that they need to go recharge.
Yeah. But, well, that's kind of the point I was making earlier about how the vehicles need a buff. But yeah, you pretty much nailed the reason on the head, is because the plasma pistol is so dang effective.
Yeah. I mean, one way to solve that, if you just really, really, really wanted to keep that EMP effect in, would be to just not let
shorten the time.
Spawn. Well, no, just don't spawn with it. Like, you
that
just
too.
Go back to the old... I mean, that's what I want. I just want them to go back to weapons on the map. There's weapons that are just on the map, and I know where they are, and they respawn at certain times that I can, you know, have somebody standing behind me with a timer going, now, rockets are up, you know? Like,
yeah. Yeah. It's...
I mean, that's all I want.
Well, it's kind of that classic Halo feel that a lot of people are still striving for. They want that... At least in terms of being able to go back and have kind of a competitive feel, having no loadouts, having weapons on the map, have it to where you don't have jetpack, don't have armor abilities. A lot of people want that kind of thing. And it's kind of a real tear between, okay, we have kind of a newer generation of Halo, yet there are still certain aspects of older generations that it would still be nice to be able to hold on to. Almost like a different class of game modes, or just, I mean, just make it on and off switches and customs, and the balance of the game is something else that's affected by all of these things with armor abilities, the overcharge EMP effect from the plasma pistol. It's drastically changed how the game flows now. Halo 4 does not play anything remotely like Halo 1 or Halo 2, And right now, Halo 3 is the middle ground just because of what features were brought into Halo 3 that are now exist in Halo 4 and that were in Halo 2 with the equipment and the EMP effect and a few other things in the Halo 3 sandbox. So
yeah,
it's...
But equipment and armor abilities are two completely different gameplay mechanics.
Right, and there's...
Equipment is...
For the equipment, you had to go pick up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's... There's a lot of balance that needs to be reevaluated for Halo. Anyways, we have one more in here. Mr. Ouija, I think it's your turn, right?
Yeah, Mr. Ouija says, a Forerunner gun that fires a beam like the Sentinel beam, but with a sound and power like the focus rifle from Halo Reach. So, the focus rifle with a Sentinel beam weapon skin. I guess I'd be okay. I didn't really enjoy the focus rifle that much in Halo Reach.
I didn't either. It was one of those weapons I really didn't care for.
I could use it fairly effectively, but it just...
I could never
use
satisfying.
It well.
I could not get a hang of it, to be honest. It was one of those weapons that... I don't know.
I tried to use it less as a weapon for getting kills and more as like an assist weapon. Kind of, you know... Take somebody's shields down, you know, they run and get away, but their shields are still down, so assuming my teammates are doing their job, you know, make it a little easier to get kills.
Yeah. So, okay, well, that answers the question of the week for this week. Thank you guys for all your responses on Twitter. We did not get any responses on Facebook or via email, but we still got quite a bit here. So, give us some good things to talk about. Extended the duration of the show, which is always good. So, we'll kind of open it up to the chat room to answer that question if you guys want to, and we'll read it after we go through our two submissions that we have. So, again, the question is, if you could add a weapon to the Halo sandbox, what would it be? And give some detail. So, chat box go, and we'll read the submissions in the meantime. First one is from Mr. Smiley. He writes in, hey, I just wanted to continue to beat the dead horse that is dual wielding. However, before you move on and ignore this email, I actually have some decent argument for moving back to it. A couple episodes ago, you were saying someone from Bungie said that dual wielding disrupted the holy trinity of weapons, grenades, and melee. I don't believe that this was the case. The reason I say this is because as someone has been around since the beginning, I do not see this connection at all. In Halo 2, I saw it as a sacrifice rather than a phasing out of one tactic over another. I accepted the fact that, yes, I had greater firepower, but as soon as someone came in close, I knew I would be beat with a melee. Second, I knew I would be unable to throw grenades as quickly. I see this as a sacrifice over phasing out of other tactics. Hope this makes sense. TLDR, dual wielding is not necessarily disrupting the trinity of melee, grenades, and weapons, but rather exposing oneself to other tactics in exchange for firepower. I think the main issue here was just a certain balance of which ability you were able to use kind of based on what your control scheme was, because one control scheme you had melee, another one you had grenade, and it kind of creates a small unbalance in the game. Now, this is, I mean, I can kind of equalize or equate this to kind of how we have loadouts now. You're basically picking which armor ability you want over another, which could expose yourself to certain other aspects of the sandbox that you could get killed more easily. So if you choose jetpack over thruster pack, you have the lateral movement, but you don't have the horizontal movement. And it's things like that. I don't think it breaks Halo that much to have the dual wield. It's definitely interesting, but It is a tactics change. I personally don't see any problem with introducing dual wielding back into the game.
No.
I mean, it would be an interesting balance of which weapons you would allow to be dual wielded, but I don't see a big problem with it.
Dual wielding bolt shots.
Oh, that would be a nightmare.
one plasma pistol in one hand, a bolt shot in the other. Go for it. Yeah, I mean, it in Halo 2, it wasn't like it was extremely unbalanced. you know, if someone was running around with dual pistols or dual SMGs or whatever, you just threw a grenade at their feet, you know, hit them with a headshot with your BR. That took care of that problem real fast, you know. I mean, the BR was such a versatile weapon with such a great range that there really wasn't any point to use any other weapon unless it was a power weapon.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of the same way it is now. I mean, you could make a case that the bolt shot, just the single bolt shot, is more powerful than dual wielding ever was in any Halo game.
Oh, yeah.
Like, far more overpowered than dual wielding has been in any situation. I mean, I think when Halo 2 first came out, they had a problem with dual wielding needlers. Like, that would kill people too fast, but they just patched that and fixed it.
Yeah. I mean, even dual wielding Maulers, I think the one bolt shot would outdo the Maulers from Halo 3.
Oh, yeah.
The bolt shot was just a bad idea. It was a cool concept to have kind of like a Promethean equivalent of a plasma pistol, but their implementation broke it. It really did.
Yeah.
You want to read the next one?
Yes. Martin Smith says, "Wow, that was a really disheartening article. As a Halo fan, it really kind of feels like we've been kicked in the gut when we knew it was coming. As you said on the podcast relating to it, at least they had the guts to finally go out on a limb and explain why and how they believe they had failed. Just a couple thoughts. As a part of the Halo community, knowing where they fell down and what we expect them to fix come Halo 5, here's a list of what we want. A, gameplay and equipment back like Halo 3. B, gameplay and equipment, gameplay and stripped equipment from Halo 2. C, gameplay and AAs from Reach. And D, gameplay and stripped specializations from Halo 4, but keep AAs. I really don't know what mix it would take to bring back the masses to the greatest gaming franchise ever created. So imagine the discussions that they would be having now to try and rectify what the core Halo community feels like they pile-drived into the ground. I don't envy their task at all. You can imagine the meetings that would be going on internally at 343. Let's just hope the number one point on the agenda is, how the hell do we bring back the masses back to Halo and keep the community there? How cool would it be if 343 came out with something as easy as a poll to ask what the Halo community and the general public want? Even if it just allows us to feel like we had our say and know that we have been heard. Thanks for doing an extra podcast this week and addressing this article. Keep on fragging warthogs. Keep up the great work as usual for the Halo community. Also, Dusty, Brent, and Sal for 343 jobs. Campaign starts now." So he gives four potential mixes of gameplay
right.
that they could implement in Halo 5 to possibly fix it, in his opinion. I'll just go over that again because he's kind of confused by it.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, his first one was gameplay and equipment back like Halo 3.
Okay, so basically going back to Halo 3 sandbox settings, okay?
Yeah, power drainers, bubble shields, stuff like that.
Yep.
What was the other equipment? I'm
there's
missing a bunch.
There's the regen, there was the bubble shield, there was the power drainer, there was the trip mine, there was the flare, there was the radar jammer, and the gravity lift. I think it was those seven. Chat room can verify,
yeah,
but I think it was those seven.
I'm thinking, yeah. No, that was pretty good. Except for the radar jammer and the flare, those are some pretty cool gameplay items. I actually enjoyed equipment in Halo 3 fairly well. His second list, gameplay and stripped equipment like Halo 2. I don't think that they're ever going to go back to
drop
that.
Shield. Drop shield. Yep. There was another one that I missed. Drop shield. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
So the kind of Halo 2 settings where there is no equipment. They're never going to go back to that as much as I might like that. Like, it's never going to happen ever again.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, that's the way it's going to be.
Like, you might get that experience in customs, maybe, but never again. I mean,
but I think those options need to be integrated.
Yeah,
it's important to expand the franchise, add the new features in there, but it's also important to keep the classic Halo fans kind of satisfied, be able to go in there and make those changes to kind of throw back. If those changes were able to be put in there or be able to be configured in custom games, people would be a lot more happy.
Yeah.
I think people would be a lot more happy if some stuff was just plain taken out of the game, but they've gotten a long way from having some certain features that it's almost kind of expected to have those new things in there. Armor abilities, I think, is one of those things that are going to be in Halo now for good. Sprint, I've seen a couple people complain about Sprint, but personally, I think their implementation in Halo 4 is actually a pretty good implementation of Sprint. So I don't have any qualms with that personally. And I mean, you're a freaking Spartan. You should be able to sprint.
Yeah.
I mean, if you read the books, you can see how fast these Spartans move. Oh, I mean, they move lightning fast.
Canonically, it makes sense, but I think in a way they enjoyed the kind of slower pace of Halo. Especially because at the time, you know, Unreal Tournament and stuff like that was out. You know, that was a contemporary FPS title when the original Halo and Halo 2 came out, and that was extremely fast-paced.
Uh-huh.
Kind of those Unreal Engine first-person shooters were real fast. And Halo was more of a slow, methodical kind of gunplay. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it doesn't bother me that much. But there should always be the ability to take Sprint out in custom games. Like, just any option that you can possibly give me in custom games. If you can make it work in custom games, you need to give me the option.
The more options, the better.
Yes. There is no bad option that you could give me in customs. Because I just wouldn't use that option if it were bad. I mean, that's the thing. Like,
well, I mean, some people design maps in such a way where armor abilities and other things break map flow.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that's the first one. The second one was gameplay and stripped equipment from Halo 2.
Yeah, it's not happening.
So the only thing that Halo 2 had in addition to Halo 1 was pretty much dual wielding and a few more different weapons in there, like the carbine and the BR.
The brute shot.
Oh, and the brute shot. Yeah.
That was a great weapon.
Someone actually did throw that in the chat. I don't know, the grenade launcher was kind of the replacement of the brute shot for me, and I was perfectly fine with that.
Ultimately, I've had more fun with the grenade launcher. If you never bring back the brute shot and you just give me the grenade launcher, I'll be happy.
Yep. The grenade launcher and the railgun, I love those two weapons. I really do. The third one was gameplay and armor abilities from Reach. So I guess he basically just listed out all the different game engines.
Yeah, like the kind of evolution of gameplay throughout the different Halos.
Yeah. So basically Reach is with armor abilities and then gameplay, but specialization is ripped out of Halo 4. I think the specializations was kind of a stupid thing to put in there. Yeah, it was interesting to be able to choose, but it seemed like just stuff that should kind of be standard for every Spartan.
Right.
So
it'll be interesting to see what 343 does with Halo 5.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. That's one way to put it.
They could either get people real excited or real angry real fast.
They need to adhere to the core audience of Halo, whether or not they're casual or if they're hardcore. They need to appeal to that core set of Halo players that play it regardless of whether it's popular or not and play it all the way through its 3-year cycle. They need to appeal to those players in order to be successful.
But Dusty, 5 billion people play Call of Duty and they need those players. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous to chase after Call of Duty's success. Like, even if you're making a first-person shooter, I would not model my game after Call of Duty at all.
No.
I don't think they understand that game appeals to people for a very special reason that you will not be able to replicate. If you try to put it in your game, it simply won't work.
Yeah. It's kind of unfortunate, but... I wouldn't say you can't take nothing from Call of Duty. There's certain things that fit.
I'm saying, in my opinion...
Call of Duty
is a very self-contained experience. Everything about Call of Duty has to work in conjunction with every other element of that game or it's broken. You can't simply take one aspect of Call of Duty out and then apply it to your first-person shooter because it will ruin the rest of your game mechanics.
Yeah.
Like, Call of Duty works because first and foremost, it works around the mechanic of here are a bunch of guns. They have similar but you know, minor differences between their firing rates and accuracy and range and things like that. And there's a whole bunch of them, and you get to choose which one you want to spawn with. And all of, I mean, in Call of Duty, it's basically one-hit kills. If you shoot somebody, they probably die. I'm saying back when I was playing, like, you just, if you saw somebody, you point your M16 at them, you pull the trigger, and they die. Now, I mean, I don't know if that's necessarily true for newer Call of Duty games, because I haven't played them in a long time, but...
Yeah.
It's not like Halo's regenerative shield system at all.
The thing about Call of Duty is, it's a game designed in such a way where you're just there to shoot people. There's not much... Like, and from how most people play it, there's not much strategy involved. It's pretty much run and gun type of game. Halo involves more balance to it. The weapon sets are pretty much, well, they used to be where everyone spawned with the same weapon and had access to the same weapons. That's kind of changed now. Battlefield is a very class based game, and it really takes skill for Battlefield, and that definitely takes some skill for Halo, but Call of Duty is simply there to go shoot people up, in my opinion.
Yep.
Now, it's not to say that the competitive crowd of Call of Duty isn't good or isn't skilled at their game. When you get to that level, it is very competitive. It does take a lot of skill. I'm not saying that professional Call of Duty is bad. It's very respectable, and they have the tools to do it. They've actually built Call of Duty in such a way where you have that tournament-style mode to where you can actually watch tournament-style play. And it works really well. But in terms of the casual audience, for Call of Duty, it's just a shoot-em-up game. That's kind of what it boils down to. That wraps up the submissions part. In regards to the chat room's questions of the week, I saw one of them in here talking about aiming down sights, being able to take some of the automatic weapons or some of the weapons that don't have zooming functionality like the Link Scope, and actually be able to maybe have a partial zoom to it, not necessarily a full zoom, but a partial zoom. I'm not sure how that would exactly work, just because of how Halo has been set up to where that zoom is kind of that scope link integration, and that's how the sci-fi of Halo works. It's an interesting concept, and I think aiming down the sights would be an interesting addition to the game, especially for the pistol. That would be kind of cool, except the pistols have scopes on them already, so that's kind of counterintuitive.
Aim down sights with your grav hammer. Like, you put the hammer out in front of you, and like, you can't see anything except for the sides of your screen. Like,
that'd be interesting. What else was in here? I didn't see much else in here. Let's see, ADS. Did anyone else have an answer to that question about the weapon that you would put in? A slowdown gun idea. Huh. So, define a slowdown gun idea, because that one...
It's like a gun that when you get shot with it, it slows your Spartan down, like you can't move very fast.
I mean, we kind of already have that. If you're getting shot when you're sprinting. Effect. Well, when you're sprinting, you have that flinch effect, and you slow down more. I mean, that's just something as simple as adding that flinch effect when you're walking. I don't know. That one seems a little weird to me. Jack says a silencer gun. Silencer removes sprint and armor abilities for 30 seconds. So kind of like an EMP gun? No. What, huh? That one doesn't quite make sense to me either. Removes the ability to sprint or use power-ups for about 30 seconds or until death. I mean, I can think of, like, having additional pieces you can put on weapons to silence guns, but, like, a silencer gun? Like, oh no, that one baffles me a little bit. Suck cannon acts like a vacuum cleaner. You can suck up small objects and shoot them back out at high speeds. Isn't that kind of the railgun?
Yeah. Just pick up Dyson vacuum cleaner, smack a Spartan over the head with it.
There's some interesting ones in here. I thought we'd actually get some interesting ideas for new weapons, but turns out there weren't that many. I mean, the most interesting ones for me were the Bolo launcher and the crossbow. I guess the Bolo launcher was kind of the one that takes the cake for me. Maybe the Singularity grenade. That one was pretty cool.
What about a shrink ray?
A shrink ray?
Like you can shrink down other Spartans, and then when they're shrunk down, like if you step on them,
you can step on them? Oh my god.
But then if you're shrunk, you actually see like the world in small perspective.
Oh man.
It's like you see these giant Spartans like running around. It throws a little grenade at you.
That would be. It's like. It's like you're throwing a pebble or something.
It's like a little firecracker.
Oh, gosh. It has this tiny explosion. Poof.
That would be good.
Someone said a plasma launcher. What? Oh, no. I didn't like the plasma launcher in Halo Reach that much. I mean, I could use it, but it wasn't one of those guns that really stood out. Anyways, there's a couple other ones in here. Pseudo power weapon that you would charge, and when the person is hit, they wouldn't be able to sprint away very fast or strafe well. Well, you can kind of already do that if you hit somebody with a weapon while they're sprinting. They do slow down a bit. So I guess people want that flinch reaction there a little bit more prominent in the game. Although there's not really any other first-person shooters where that flinch effect really happens that much. Or that slowdown effect. I want to say maybe Battlefield 3 does it, but I think Halo may be the only one that really slows someone down if you're getting shot. Well, okay, wait, hang on. Do you stop sprinting when you get shot in Call of Duty?
Yeah, because you die.
You can get shot without dying in Call of Duty.
I know.
If you're not playing hardcore.
I'm exaggerating for comedic effect.
it may be in Call of Duty where you stop running. A force gun does the same damage to an opponent, but not too much, but can throw Spartans a fair distance backwards. That's kind of the concussion rifle. Kind of how you described it is basically you shoot them with a concussion rifle.
The concussion rifle kind of has that slowdown effect. Because when you're getting hit with it, you flinch.
Yeah, you get jostled around. Yeah. It sucks getting like tossed up in the air, and then they just keep shooting you, and you're just basically, you can't move. That's kind of one of those slight powerful things about the concussion rifle that's really cool, but then again, it really sucks to be on the receiving end of that. So, I think that's pretty much wraps it up for us tonight. Bulletins, again, are kind of getting short, so we'll start incorporating a little bit more feature content within our shows. That'll happen, of course, near the middle to end of May. So, everyone in the chat room, thank you very much for coming out. I think we peaked at about 10 viewers, excluding Brent and myself. So, thank you for coming out, supporting the show live. We do this every Thursday, talking about the bulletin updates. We will do this every Thursday, pretty much, as long as there is a bulletin, and talk about some other stuff as well here in the coming shows. We will have a special show on Saturday. I believe the time we picked was 8 o'clock Eastern Time, PM. And we'll be talking to the folks from AGL, Arena Gaming League. They are pretty much the new premier league for Halo competitive play. And they've had 5 events so far. Their 6th event is coming up, I believe, within the next 2 weeks. I forget where it is. I need to do my research on that, of course. But they have, I think, a total of 32 events planned for this year. Although I think that list is kind of dwindling based on their ability to actually be able to get locations. So we will be interviewing 2 of the folks over there, Brad and Connor. So they'll be in the hot seat with us for about an hour on Saturday. So if you're into the whole competitive gaming community, that whole side of Halo, you'll definitely want to tune in on Saturday. If not, definitely download our next podcast. Make sure you check us out on our website, podtackler.com. And while you're there, you can send us a submission using the big green button, and you can ask us anything Halo-related, as far as stuff that's going on in the bulletins, other stuff that we talk about. Maybe there's something that you want us to look at or cover. Definitely send anything our way. You can use that submissions button, and we can cover it on the show. You can also send it to us directly at submissions@podtackler.com, or you can even call our listener voicemail, 240-200-HALO. 240-200-4256 and leave a Halo related message. Keep it about 90 seconds or so. That's kind of the perfect length for us to get it incorporated into the show. Whenever we do go live, people that follow us on Twitch will get a notification. So definitely follow us over there if you have a Twitch account. If not, go sign up for one. Go to our channel, which is twitch.tv/podtacular, and go ahead and follow us. And that way, every time we go live, even for our special shows, you'll get a little email notification saying that we're going live. So follow us on Twitch. Likewise, follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Subscribe to our show in iTunes, Xbox Music, and any other RSS podcast aggregator software or whatever you use to subscribe to shows. Definitely subscribe and check us out website-wise and other places. We also have a YouTube channel. We'll be putting content up there shortly. I know it's been kind of a lull in content being produced, but we will be putting stuff up there very soon to kind of go with what we've done for the Halo 4 campaign and Spartan Ops miniseries that we did. So that will be content added probably within the next 3 weeks or so. So we will have YouTube content coming back, and that's youtube.com/podtacktv. Also, we do produce this show and give it to you guys for free. This is pretty much out of our own pockets, but we do have a way for you to help contribute to our show other than just the submissions. If you're feeling generous and care to give, we have a donation button on our homepage where you can send us a few bucks our way to help out with hosting and a few other things that we have. We had a donation recently, which actually helped us purchase Twitch Turbo. So everyone who listens to the live stream and attends our game event, game night streams, do not get interrupted by ads. So that's been pretty nice. Speaking of the game nights, we have Monday Night Matchmaking coming up this week because the Bulletin actually covered some matchmaking updates. So we'll have that on Monday at 8:30. Wacky Wednesdays is still weekly at 8:30 Eastern as well. And that's the lineup for the, I think, all of our stuff this next week. Podcast again on Saturday and Thursday. And yeah, that covers it. Thanks again, guys, for coming out and listening to us. If you were here live in the stream or if you download us on the show, we really appreciate it. Lastly, a project I've been working on with a good friend of mine, Jackfire Dragon, is the Halo Mole. We announced it, I believe, a couple weeks ago. I think 2 weeks ago. Yeah. Registration is open for people to go and sign up to be a contestant of the Mole or to have to be the Mole. For those of you who don't know, The Mole was a reality TV show that started out in the UK and it has kind of spread out across the world. There's a couple of US seasons as well. If you don't know what The Mole is, we have some info on our website that kind of talks about it. It's thehalomole.com, so definitely go over there, check out our teaser. If something of interest to you, go ahead and register. Registrations are open until the end of this month, so you'll want to get your submissions in there for your registrations in as soon as possible. Thanks again for listening, and we will see you guys next time. Peace.
Thanks, everyone.